You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, every team, everywhere. New episodes of original content all week on the hockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front row seat to all of the action. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap and sit back and watch your points pile up. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN. Once again, promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello and good day, San Jose, and welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast, your home of the San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dylan Kayser, and I'm joined in studio by producer T. We also have Nick Floor on the line. Nick, how the hell are you?
Doing good. Had the day off on Sunday, but got rewarded by watching the Sharks get absolutely destroyed. So.
It was a brutal game last night.
It was
a brutal game.
Beautiful game.
We got Isha Jeromy in the studio here as well.
Here saying, in the background there.
Game. Enjoy those Sharks games while you can. That's all I'm going to say there. Producer T, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Nice to see you. Yeah, it's been a pretty rough couple days since we last went, and I don't even think that when we were talking last it was that positive anyway. So hey, Sharks. I mean,
has it been positive at any point this year on this podcast?
I mean, think before this season we had like higher expectations than this season.
We had like and a, they were low. A sliver like, of hope.
Yeah.
And that sliver is now gone.
Yeah.
It's been a rough go. It's been a rough go.
It really has.
But we have something positive on this episode though. We have Sheng Peng joining us later in the episode. So I think
always
we're pretty
a great
jacked
interview.
For that.
Always a great interview.
Yeah, can't wait for him to jump on and tell us why the Sharks are bad, objectively, that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was about to say, this man knows more about the Sharks than all three of us combined.
Yeah.
So it's nice That's having Sheng. It is a fact. It is a fact. Facts only on this podcast.
Facts only.
Yeah.
Good groins and facts only.
Yeah,
GGO, good GGO. Groins only. It seems like the Sharks are not following those guidelines.
No.
That's not for another day. Let's talk quickly about that Minnesota Wild game before we bring on Sheng. Overall disappointing. Nick, I think I saw you tweet out that you thought it was one of the worst games that the Sharks have played all year. What made you think that?
Just like statistically. So I'm sure there's a lot of advanced stats that like point to the Sharks being good in certain aspects of the game, but all in all, it just felt like everything that was wrong in certain sections of certain games all fell together into one single game. You had bad puck luck, you got losing a fight, you got pulling Jones, you got giving up like the second period lapse. Like everything that could go wrong did go wrong for the Sharks, or at least it felt that way.
Yeah, that sounds about right for the whole season. So
yeah, that's literally.
But you know what? We're going to bring on Sheng. He's going to talk a little bit more about that game, I'm sure, and just the Sharks in general. So, like I said, we're excited for that. We're going to take a quick break. And on the other side, Sheng Peng.
And joining us now after that phenomenal DraftKings break we had there, we have Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now. Sheng, thank you again for joining us for this lovely evening. How are you doing?
Very good, yeah. And I hope you don't mind my lighting here. I look like...
Very ghosty, it looks like. So I apologize for that. I look
you
like
look a little. You look a little like me yesterday.
Yeah, if you look at me, I just got the screen in front of me reflecting. I'm a walking flashbang at this point. And
yeah, you have the contrast of the teal though. So I'm against a white background. So
gotcha.
We'll work it out. We'll be all right.
let's change the topic before this conversation gets out of hand.
Let me just turn off the camera so you don't need to.
No. We want everyone to see you. Shang, how are you doing other than watching the Sharks, you know, give up what felt like every goal possible yesterday?
Oh, well, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I don't know about the Sharks, but I'm awesome.
Okay, I think that's fair. That's fair. He's already coming in with the jabs. I appreciate it.
I'm not doing anything. It's the team that's doing it.
That's correct. That makes me feel better just as like a fan, and I think us as well, because when everyone's like, the Sharks suck, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not paying them. So it's not coming out of my check, so we're good to go with that. So we spoke a little bit about the game yesterday, or the exhibition it felt like between the Barracuda and the Minnesota Wild. And we want to kind of get a quick summarization, you know, your thoughts. I know you spoke a little bit about what happened on your website on San Jose Hockey Now, but if you could summarize just briefly how yesterday went for the Sharks, how do you think you'd do it?
Well, as you guys mentioned earlier, and Bob Bugner said it too, it felt like every chance that Minnesota got went into the net. The problem with the Sharks is that we've heard this before this year. And so story gets old after a while, and after a while you start to think that, well, maybe this team isn't that good because all this bad stuff keeps happening to us. And so that's probably the sense that we're getting. Not to come in all doom and gloom to begin with, you know, there are bright spots, there is some hope with this team, but I think though that we've had too many of these. Oh, we played a great period, but then, you know, we gave up, especially the second and third goals last night. The Kaprizov goal and the Ian Cole goals are both just, even by NHL standard, just really poor defense and inexcusable defense if you're trying to kind of turn yourself into a team that's better than mediocre.
And as far as the goaltending goes with this team, do you think either one of these goaltenders are going to take the real starting position? Because, I mean, right now they're kind of splitting up the job. Do you think Devan Dubnyk can maybe take that role?
There's no other hope there, because I think with Martin Jones, we have to be honest. Martin Jones, we've seen the tape the last 3 years, wanted to give him a chance, obviously, this year to start off with a brand new non-interim coach. I know Bob Bugner was his coach last year, but Bob Bugner had the interim tag removed. You're going to want to give him a chance give him a chance with maybe improved team defense. I'm speaking of Martin Jones, and it just hasn't really worked out. And it's, of course, not all on Jones. The team defense has not improved greatly in front of him. But there are times, too, when you just need a stop. And I think there was an instance or two last night where just whether it be a timing or something, but it always feels like it's kind of the same old story where, yeah, you know, it's not really Martin Jones's fault, but, man, we could have really used a stop there. And it becomes kind of a, you know, a broken record, a tired story. And that's what I wrote about yesterday a little bit in my Quick Thoughts article at San Jose Hockey Now, where we didn't even bother to ask Bob Bugner about Martin Jones, because what else is there to say, at least publicly? I mean, Bob Bugner, you know, eviscerated Jones a couple weeks ago after the Los Angeles game. You know, Bob Bugner's quote was, that goaltending in that Los Angeles 6-2 loss. Bob Bugner said, that goaltending is not our standard. You know, as strong as words as we've heard from any Sharks coach over the last 3 years about Jones. And I think with Jones, it's not that Jones couldn't do well in a different situation with a better team defense in front of him, or a team that doesn't need him so much. You know, right now the Sharks team can't score. So they need, you know, Connor Hellebuyck. They need Dominic Hasek, you know, in front of them to give them that confidence. You know, the Sharks team, you know, when they need a goal, there's nobody that they can rely on. That's nobody that they can turn to for sure. And so it's just kind of a bad kind of toxic mix for a guy like Jones, who I think can still play. But, you know, I think just not a great situation for him right now. And too much is kind of riding on him. And it's sort of a tired topic. So anyway, to go back to answer your question, Dubnyk is, we haven't seen enough of Dubnyk this year to decide either way if he can be a solution. And so just being kind of that unknown and having a good track record, you know, he is probably a better hope than Jones right now.
Yeah, I mean, you talked a little bit about how the team finally is getting like a full tenure underneath the Bob Bugner system. And, you know, people kept moving the goalposts back, whether it be away games and not being able to play at home, or whether it be like a new system. So since everything is kind of static, essentially, for the Sharks right now, but there still seems to be no major improvement, even though there was, in my opinion, some improvement in the depth. So in the depth of the team in the offseason, do you think anyone right now is in danger of losing their job? Like, you know, Bugner just got his extension, but, you know, do you think DW is going to be in the hot seat or anything along those lines?
It's hard to tell with Doug Wilson because, first, Hasso Plattner, the owner of the Sharks, has proven to be a pretty, I don't know if cautious is the right word for his decision making, but, you know, he's not a rash guy. He's not a guy, you know, he's not the hands-on type owner that you're going to hear from, you know, regarding every decision, or is going to have his hands in, you know, big personnel decisions. And there's good and bad with that, you know. You know, Plattner, from what I understand, has been pretty hands-off and has trusted, you know, Doug Wilson over the years. And when I say hands-off, I don't mean that as kind of any kind of slight. You know, I think Plattner is the type of guy, seems like he's the type of guy that knows that managing a hockey team is not his expertise. So he's not going to overshoot himself, which is, I think, very, very admirable. I think knowing that, I think that he may not be as quick to let a guy like Doug Wilson go. Doug Wilson, who has had a very, very extended, lengthy track record of success. And the Sharks have never gone through a full rebuild with Wilson. So, you know, is not the right word, but, you know, is there reason to believe that, you know, hey, let's give Doug Wilson a shot to take this Sharks team through a full rebuild. Can he be that guy? I think it's very possible. I know that the reason why they're in this situation is a lot of decisions that Doug Wilson tracks, that sort of thing, you know. But does Doug Wilson deserve a chance to kind of pull himself out of the mess that he made? I think there's an argument for it, and I don't think it's a sure thing that he won't get that chance, you know, with Hasso Plattner. You know, this is, again, not a hair trigger owner here that, you know, impatient for results, that sort of thing. You know, I think there's going to be some patience here, some understanding about everything that's gone on. In terms of other jobs on the line, Bob Bugner, for example, I think it's obviously premature to say that. Let's see how this season plays out. Let's see if you know, they can turn things around. You know, as much doom and gloom as I've brought, and as every Sharks fan, both Sharks fans, you know, feel in the cavities of their heart right now, the West is wide open. Fourth place is wide open. Sure, you know, St. Louis, Vegas, Colorado, they're going to be your top three, and that's pretty much, you know, set in stone. But fourth is wide open. Fourth in the Pacific, or I'm sorry, the Honda West. Fourth in the West that might be the most wide open of any of the divisions. I don't know if any of the teams. I think Minnesota is actually probably the best team, and I feel like the Sharks have, you know, for what it's worth, you know, only three games they played each other, but the Sharks have competed with Minnesota in every game. You know, Minnesota doesn't look like a team that is, oh wow, that team is so good. You know, no way that San Jose can compete with them. Unlike, say, you know, the Colorado series when the Sharks play Colorado and look like, you know, two different leagues going on there. So.
Yeah, you know, Shane, you talked about Jones and the goaltending a little bit earlier. Do you think that's the biggest weakness on this Shark roster? And on the flip side of that, what do you think are the biggest strengths moving forward and what we should be looking at moving forward?
Good question about the biggest weakness. I think these are all tied in. You know, Jones, the goaltending in general has been a big weakness over the last couple of years, but they're getting no help from the team defense. And also, too, when they need a goal, where is that goal? The last 2 years, there hasn't been a lot of goal scoring. So it's all kind of feeds on each other. So I'm not going to go out and say that Jones is the biggest a weakness. But I will say the last 2 years that there have been no real difference makers on any side of the puck. be it Erik Karlsson and his, you know, expensive contract, or Brent Burns and his, you know, of course, Brent Burns did have an incredible goal last night, a difference-making goal. But
it was amazing.
It was. Yeah. But, you know, I think overall, though, his play the last 2 years specifically have not been what I would call difference making. He might be good, but, you know, he's supposed to be great. Erik Karlsson, not a difference maker the last couple of years. And so when your difference makers aren't your difference makers, then your other guys like Jones, who I don't know if he's expected to be a difference maker, but needs his guys around him to be good. Or great. If those guys aren't great, then that's a source of trouble. And so anyway, to answer the other part of the question, strengths for the Sharks. Honestly, right now, there is no, clear strength with this team. It's sort of a team that's, you know, maybe okay in a lot of areas, can be okay, but, you know, I would ask you, you know, what is the obvious strength of this team that you guys see? You know, I don't think there's an apparent one, you know, even a guy like Couture, who's off to a torrid start. I think he has 9-10 goals. You know, that's not Logan Couture. Logan Couture is not, you know, in an 80 game season, that's a 50 goal pace. Logan Couture is not a 50 goal scorer, right? Logan Couture is jack of all trades, you know, solid as hell center. You know, but he's not like a superstar type, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm gonna throw this question at you. Is he a true number one center?
That's a good one.
Oh, I stumped him, folks.
Oh man.
I got ping ping.
I think obviously he's not in the caliber of a Connor McDavid, that sort of thing, right? But you can do a lot worse at number one center than a guy like Couture. But he needs guys around him, though, right? Yeah. So he's not going to be like Connor McDavid, Lionel Richie in the Commodores there, you know, where he can be a Lionel Richie and just, you know, pull everybody along, or, you know, whatever, you know, music reference you want there. You know, I really dated myself with that one.
Beyonce.
You know, actually, I saw a news article with Lionel Richie. Apparently, he's dating like a 30-year-old. Anyways, I just saw that today. Figured I'd throw that
Dylan,
in there.
When you got it, you got it. Okay?
Well, I mean, people do. How often do you hear Lionel Richie come up on a podcast? I mean, come on.
Well, that is neither Logan Couture or Connor McDavid, I guess, dating somebody 30 years younger than them. So,
well, let's hope not.
But back to the question though of the class of center, I think Couture is fine as your number one center if you have the right support. If Tommy Hertl, who has, you know, been up and down this season, if Tommy Hertl was the Tommy Hertl of 2018-19, then you have no problem. If you have, I mean, let's go back to 2018-19 Sharks team, you know, Couture up the middle, you have Couture, Hertl, Joe Thornton. You know, Joe Thornton is still playing at a high level. That's a very strong three center group there, up and down. And so it kind of makes up for the fact that you don't have a true superstar Nathan MacKinnon, you know. So I think that's fine with him as your top center. But obviously, though, he's not a guy that you can just, you know, give him the ball and run with it and, you know, that sort of thing.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah, so you kind of touched a little bit on Hertl, you know, taking that second center role, essentially being up and down and kind of focusing on his play this year. Do you think there's a slight possibility that Hertl is dealing with a lingering injury?
I think there's a good chance that with his surgery, you know, that it sometimes takes time to get the full pop in your skating back. You know, I think past surgeries that Hertl has had too, you know, he hasn't come back to kind of full form. Like, he'll be back and playing in the lineup, but he isn't quite, you know, on a night-to-night basis, doesn't have that full pop. And so as long as he's able to stay healthy and stay in the lineup, you know, it might take some time, but I wouldn't call it like a lingering injury. You know, you'll do tests of it. It'll be fully healthy, that sort of thing. But it still takes a little time to get, you know, all your timing back and be fully comfortable with it and all that sort of thing. And so I think what's happening with Hertl now is, you know, somewhat, I guess, predictable, and it's okay. It's fine. But again, once again, though, the team needs him so much because the team doesn't have much margin for error, you know. And I'm going to say that a lot over this whole interview, be it Jones, or you asking about Erik Karlsson, you know, playing at whatever level he's playing at, or Brent Burns, you know, just these guys are still good players. They can still help a lot of teams out, but for this particular team that needs so much out of them, they're not able to provide it right now, it seems like.
So, Shang, this might be a tough one, but what do you think the long-term plan is for this team? Do you think they're going to look at maybe trying out a rebuild or maybe retool in the next 2-3 years? Or do you think they're looking at it thinking, you know what, we're stuck with these big contracts. Let's try and be competitive for the next 3 to 5 years.
I think this year's idea was the last thing you said, where we have these big contracts, so let's try to do something with it. And they didn't go as much full bore in free agency as I thought that they should, in terms of just because the free agency market was such a buyer's market that this past off season, you know, you could have, you know, picked up, two, three good forwards for like $5 million or something like that total, you know, the way the market was at this off season. So I thought the Sharks should have been more active, but, you know, they made moves like, you know, picking up another goalie, another starting goalie type in Dubnyk. They made, fixes like, you know, adding Matt Nieto, things like that, that suggested that they were still interested in winning games and being competitive. But I think it was sort of like, they dipped their toe halfway into the water, this past off season. And I think the idea was maybe to see what they still had in Erik Karlsson, in Brent Burns, in Logan Couture, in Tommy Hertl, and in Martin Jones, you know, in Vlasic, you know, in all these long-term contracts. And the results obviously have been mixed, you know, with all these guys. And so I don't know if we'll have a full sense until the really like closer to the end of the season, because it's still kind of early-ish in the season. There's still time for Erik Karlsson, who's hurt now, to come back healthy. There's still time for, you know, Hertl to kind of recover from his injury, things like that. But I think that they're kind of forming their idea of what to do next year right now. Right now, based on what we're seeing, it is probably trending towards something closer to just a guess, you know, trending closer to something to a rebuild. But the problem, of course, is that you have all these huge contracts that, you know, what do you do with them then? You know, what do you do with a Vlasic, who's, you know, performing at, you know, basically a bottom pairing defenseman level, you know, making, you know, $7 million a year, for example. So.
We talk about it every week.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, that kind of leads me to my next question, where I personally don't see the San Jose Sharks turning this around this year. So if we continue on this trajectory that we kind of are, do you see this organization being the organization that kind of tries to get some value for these guys before the trade deadline this year, make some big trades, and kind of go into this offseason maybe with a bit more pieces for this rebuild going?
Yeah. I mean, I would think that would be a prudent move if they can't distinguish themselves in the West. I'm not sure though if we'll get to that point, just because the West is so muddled, that fourth spot. So San Jose may be kind of in the thick of things for a while yet. You know, they haven't had that big drop off yet, like they had last year, where at last year's trade deadline they could start to let go of guys like, you know, Brendan Dillon and Barkley Gaudreau and that sort of thing, right? And so for the Sharks, you know, candidates like that, are, you know, Matt Nieto is an obvious candidate, one-year deal. Devin Dubnyk, you know, can, you know, if his play, if he's able to have a strong season, you know, he's going to be pretty valuable at the deadline. Even a guy like, you know, Sharks fans will hate to hear this, but, you know, Tommy Hertl is a very attractive contract and just got 1 year left. And so he can definitely help somebody. And actually, he's a guy that can get you a lot because he's fairly young and his contract is very, very team friendly. At least it is this year and next year. So those are some of the guys that, you know, I think will be worth talking about. The problem becomes, though, these big contracts and who has value right now. And only a couple of those guys, I think, have value in terms of, you know, if you want to try to get a team to pay the full freight. You know, Brent Burns is still performing at a high enough level. And $8 million is not too bad, you know. So he's a guy that if the Sharks kind of have a tailspin, but he's still able to kind of keep his play up, then he's a guy that maybe might be attractive. Besides that, among the big contracts, I don't know if anybody else is tradable. I think Couture is obviously tradable, but as your captain, maybe you're more inclined to keep him than a Brent Burns. So.
Man, I think that flat cap just killed us as far as trade value, because like you said, there's like 3-4 guys that we can't move because teams just simply can't take on the salary cap. It's put us in a tough spot.
Well, I wouldn't blame the flat cap. I would blame the person who signed these contracts in the flat cap.
Ooh, shots fired.
True.
Shots fired. Doug is a frequent listener.
I do say that, but I should step in and say that a lot of these contracts when signed were reasonable in a lot of different ways. You know, the Brent Burns contract when signed was actually considered kind of a low contract for him. He was coming off a Norris Trophy year. He's about to enter UFA. He probably would have got more in the open market. Even when Vlasic was signed, you know, I think there was maybe a little decline in his game already, but not that much though. He still was very much up there, and $7 million for him at the time, and considering how underpaid he was before that, you know, didn't seem like a stretch. Erik Karlsson, which is the most debatable one of them all. You know, let's not forget that Erik Karlsson in 2018-19 with the Sharks, you know, for a couple of months there in December, January, when he was healthy, he was still, I think, the best defenseman in the world, or right in that conversation. And even in 2019 playoffs, when he was playing on one leg, he was still very, very effective. And so that's the Karlsson that Doug Wilson signed. You know, he didn't sign Erik Karlsson. You know, the one we've seen the last 2 years, the beginning of this season, last season, is not who Doug Wilson signed. So, you know, Couture, you know, is, you know, all these contracts, you know, only one that I think is maybe questionable of all the big long ones ever signed at the time. You know, I don't want to do the hindsight thing in terms of like, oh, obviously all of them are bad, but, the only one at the time that might've been questionable is Jones, just because, you know, spending that much on goaltending, that's always been a debate. Should you spend that much on your goalie, that sort of thing. But Jones at the time was performing pretty well. So I wouldn't say if any of these contracts were really ridiculous or really, you know, really like looked like they were going to be ill-fated at the time that Doug Wilson signed them, at least in the short term. You know, all these contracts are, you know, you hope the first 3 years the guy is good, and then you know the last 4 years of the contract is going to be kind of a mess. But, you know, but that's the norm, though, so.
Yeah, on top of usually you want a cup when you hand those types of contracts out. So
we don't have those kind of conversations around here, Nick. Come on.
Well, I would just say if you compare those contracts to like what Doughty got after their Stanley Cup runs, and like the Chicago Blackhawks, the majority of those guys got those payments after they won cups, and so it's really difficult to establish, but like bring those contracts to relevance when there's still zero hardware in the building in San Jose. You know, if the Sharks win,
division banner flags up there though.
Yeah, hardware, not cloth, Shang. Hardware.
We're looking for steel.
Yeah, I want that silver. You know, the last time we talked, Shang, I asked you one question from the fans, and it was if you had any bold, like, end of season predictions or takes for us. And you said, look, you know, it's just getting started. We haven't even played a game yet. Talk to me maybe a quarter of the way, a fifth of the way into the season. And I kind of use that to keep you strung along and make sure I could bring you back on here. So now that I have you back and we're looking at this fake 500 Sharks team or sub 500 Sharks team, do you have any like bold end of season predictions for us?
Drum roll, okay. Please.
Yeah. I'll have some fun with this one. And I'm going to speak as a fan, and I don't, we talked about this before, Nick, you know, I don't approach things as a fan at all because, you know, just in my capacity, that's not my job, but as just a pure hockey fan and, how much I enjoyed watching him play just as a hockey fan in 2018-19, I'd love to see Erik Karlsson just give us like a month or two of just, you know, great Erik Karlsson hockey. He can get hurt again or whatever, or, you know, go on LTIR after this, you know, but it just be a nice reminder that there's a reason why when that contract was signed, there's a reason why he got it. You know, it wasn't anything silly that Doug Wilson did. It was a reasonable bet. It was a dangerous bet, but it was a reasonable bet at the time. So I'm going to predict that we get a month or two of great Erik Karlsson hockey. I don't know if that means anything for making the playoffs. I mean, I mean anything, but just be nice, just as a reminder of you know, how great he was in his Ottawa days and, you know, how he did have a couple moments like that in San Jose. And, you know, I'm going to go a multi-sport here, you know. I had the same thoughts. I'm actually an Angels fan. And, you know, nothing I would like more as an Angels fan than to see, you know, Shohei Ohtani, just as a sports fan, to see him have a great two-way season, right? A season where he dominates as a pitcher and as a hitter. And it doesn't matter if you're an Angels fan or not, but it's just great to watch athletic excellence at its best, you know, at its most special and most one of a kind too. And so I guess that's why I say that about Carlson. Like, it'd be great to see that just for a month or two again, because those couple of months when I covered him in San Jose, December, you know, 2018, January 19th, when he was right, when he was fully in, you know, kind of meshed with what the Sharks were doing, he was the best hockey player that I've kind of covered, at least on a regular basis, in that stretch of time. So I'd like to see that, because that was a lot of fun to watch, you know, a guy doing something otherworldly, you know, every night.
You know what, Shang? I'd love that too, because then I could wear my Erik Karlsson jersey again. I haven't worn it in a couple months out of shame, so that would be nice. But Shang, you're an absolute beauty. Thanks for jumping on the podcast once again. I'm going to leave the floor open to you to pump up your website, where the fans can follow you on Twitter, and what work you have coming up with San Jose Hockey Now.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so you can follow me at Shang_Peng at Twitter, San Jose Hockey Now. That's where you're going to see all my work. I have a good piece with Mario Ferraro. Did an exclusive interview with him. And not only did I speak with Mario, but I talked with a bunch of his former coaches, including his UMass coach, Greg Carvel. But also, too, he played for a year in the USHL. And he played for Dave Allison in USHL. And that's not as well known. And a lot of emphasis has been placed, a lot of people know that Ferraro kind of helped UMass revive itself, but not so many people know that Ferraro was part of a Des Moines USHL team that had missed the playoffs for 10 years until he got there. And he was a big part of the culture change there too. So a big part of a culture change in Des Moines, big part of the culture change in UMass, and hopefully a big part of the culture change in San Jose. You know, Bob Buchner said of Mario Ferraro, this is huge praise for a second year player, said that he's going to be wearing a letter, you know, one day for the Sharks. And so that's what the story is sort of about, you know, just sort of that origin of leadership, that sort of thing. So
awesome. There you go, folks. Go check it out. Shang, we love your work and we love bringing you on the podcast. So once again, thanks for jumping on. We'll bring you on in a couple months, or even sooner if you want to. But you know, I don't want to push it too far here.
When Erik Karlsson blows it up, man. When Erik Karlsson blows it up, you're coming on.
Exactly.
Book you know it, what? Folks. You can have me on when he's put on LTIR in 2 weeks, and he can laugh at me. All right. So, but the caveat is that it wasn't a true prediction. That. It just was the hope of a fan of hockey to see it. So
there you go. There you go. Shang, awesome. Thanks so much, folks. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to preview the upcoming games for the San Jose Sharks.
Calling all Jets fans and foodies. What's going on, guys? I'm Brandon Rewicki, the host of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. Look, if you love Jets hockey, this is the place for you. In-depth breakdowns from every game, a deep dive into the big plays and moments from Winnipeg's season, and all the Jets talk you will not find anywhere else. We got it for you on Skates and Plates. Plus, if you love carbs and everything tasty, we jump into the world of food as well. Once a week, we also speak with a member of the local culinary scene to highlight their great stories and the great food they put out. So there it is. Hockey, Jets, food, drink, everything good in life. It's right here on Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Once again, Shang, absolute beauty. Can't thank the guy enough for jumping on. Like I said, he knows more about the Sharks than all three of us combined.
Yeah.
Maybe throw Kyle in the mix too. I don't know. Might be going too far.
He did an article about the Sharks in-game series adjustment that I just absolutely loved. It was regarding the penalty kill against the Blues. Now the Sharks weren't taking away the outside pass in front of the net. And he's just the little things that he sees throughout the game. I have no idea it's happening. I'm like, oh shit. Well, that's a thing. You see, like, Knyazhov put a stick to the outside so they couldn't, you know, do a down low pass in front of the goaltending. And then you see it on the next penalty kill for the Sharks. So it's great to see how he can just objectively break down the game for people like me who are, you know, dumb. So,
well, it's like there's two games going on at the same time, right? The game that we're watching and then the game that guys like Shang are watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a fun interview. And there's a reason actually I played that promo for Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. It's a little bit random, but I mean, he half his show, he talks about local food in the Winnipeg area. Yeah. And he was actually number one in the charts for Canadian food podcasts.
Oh, wow.
Number one in Canada.
Really?
For like a solid week, too. Wow. So,
attaboy.
I mean, not a big deal.
Not take a big deal. Deal.
Fuck you.
Whoa. Oh, Jesus. Just getting real hostile.
Hey, this is not a Bell friendly podcast, okay?
Yeah.
I'm an American and I still say that, so fuck that.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, while we're on that topic, next year it is going to be interesting on hashtag Bell Let's Talk Day.
Yeah,
to see the reaction, because
man, fuck Bell.
Yeah,
yeah. See,
saying, fuck Bell.
Isha gets it.
Yeah, quote that one. but it was interesting talking to Shang about the Sharks, though, because I mean, I feel like we've been so negative all year. Well, not negative, but realistic, I guess. And he kind of shares some of the feelings that we have about this team. That there's not a lot going on. I mean, T, when you asked him the biggest strengths of this team, that was the hardest question he got all night.
Honestly, I wasn't expecting him to struggle. But then
he asked it back to us.
And I was like, shit, I don't have a reply for him. If he actually was looking for one.
Yeah, if someone brought me on as a guest on a podcast and they asked me that, I'd sit there and I'd just freeze. Seriously. Honestly. I do anyways. But
I don't blame him. Like, I sat there like in just full zone out mode. I'm like, you saw Kyle's internet just affecting my brain. Like, it was just loading forever. I'm like, fuck, we have no strengths. That's it.
Kyle hasn't even watched a hockey game in like 2 months.
He hasn't
been on Facebook.
Yeah.
He hasn't been connected to the internet. He's just been living in a cave somewhere in California.
Do we know he's okay though? Like,
honestly, I don't know. He's got no internet. He's off the edge of the world.
Okay.
Yeah, send out get your flare gun and shoot us a signal there.
Flare gun.
Hey, he's probably got one. I mean,
drive to Reno. There might be a dial-up phone there.
The wife and I are house hunting, right? And so, like, there will be houses that pop up in, like, the Auburn and Newcastle area, which is where he's at. And she's like, oh, those are actually pretty cheap. I'm like, we're not fucking going there. There's no internet.
No internet. We know this.
Copper wires. Come on.
X that whole area out.
House hunting, eh? Wow. You didn't get on the show, or did you?
What do you mean?
House hunters.
Oh, no. Come on now. Those people are like, I'm an underwater basket weaver, and we have a $10 million budget. Like, come on.
We need an indoor pool, so yeah, that show's nuts.
I run an Etsy store, and my husband sells toenail clippings. Like, fuck off. Where are you getting this money from?
Jesus. let's change the topic there. So we have some games coming up this week, and they're tough ones. We're playing the Golden Knights on Thursday, then the St. Louis Blues on Saturday, and honestly the week after that is looking
next
even
week
worse.
Is like absolutely brutal.
I don't know how it could be worse, but it is, because we're playing the Avalanche twice
and then the Knights twice in the same week.
Okay, so let's take a look at this. The next six games, so the Golden Knights, the Blues, two against the Avalanche, then we play the Golden Knights twice again.
Yeah.
Do we get a single win?
I'd be happy with two wins out of that. Genuinely happy.
I'd be happy with a single point at this point of the game.
You have to come out of six games.
You need a surprise somewhere in there.
You
right?
have to.
Shane Van Eysen, the Raptors are going to lose.
I love the relevance to the hockey podcast.
Nick, what do you think? How do we come out of this?
Not on the Raptors, obviously. So,
I don't know what it's going to be record-wise at all, but the stupidest shit happens with Martin Jones all the time. So he got Bo Peeped again last game. He got pulled for Dubnyk, right? And there's always a stat with Martin Jones where the game after he gets pulled, he has like a career day. So like there was one a couple years ago. It was like Martin Jones' stats after in the game after being pulled, he's like 5-0-1 with like less than one goals against average, like a .960 save percentage. He's had like two shutouts. So based on their practice today, which Knyazhov got some fighting advice from Curtis Gabriel, apparently. That's funny.
I saw that.
But based on the practice today, you had Melnichuk and Dubnyk sharing one end of the ice, which means, oh boy, we're going back to Jones, baby. And so this is coming out on Thursday. We're recording this Tuesday night. So Thursday is when we play the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm willing to bet like $20 fucking dollars. Martin Jones gets the start. And I mean, I think he's going to give up still like 3 to 4 goals. The Sharks aren't going to lose because of him. They're going to lose because they can't score. But like, I still think he's going to do really well.
I honestly thought you were going to have like a bold prediction that you were going to put like $5 on the Sharks winning and fucking Jones getting a shutout.
Yeah, I was about to say,
you would have been good. I'll put $5 on that. I'll do it right now. I will bet you both of you. I will pay both of you $5 American dollars.
You want to go, like, you're in America. You're allowed to bet online and stuff. Go do
this.
Go
California, make some actual money. We can't bet.
Daily Fantasy Sports on DraftKings. Use promo code THPN for exclusive offers.
Daily Draft, do it. No, seriously, that would be a great bet because if I honestly don't see it happening. If there was a year where Martin Jones is not going to have a bounce back game, it's going to be the last couple. But you know what? Those would be great odds, Nick. I'm going to go home. I'm going to put a bet on DraftKings using promo code THPN.
Do it.
Boom.
Make it even spicier. Prop betting gets a shutout. Fuck.
Okay, come on. Dude,
that's big money.
Yeah. $5 turned to 500. I didn't respond to that.
she even knows.
Even Alexa.
She knows.
Oh my god, that is so perfect. That is so perfect.
Hey, we're taking the watch off for the podcast. It's getting a little weird. Oh, is that your watch? Yeah.
Got a Google Watch there, or what?
A Google Watch?
No, it's not Apple Google. Watch. An Apple Watch.
You loaded him there. Google Watch, his son.
You get it on the internet or something? Oh man.
Oh man.
That's but it great. Is an Apple Watch, right?
I have one of those, but I don't like wearing it because I feel like I'm just constantly buzzing any notification.
Yeah.
It's just too much, you know? I just feel too tied.
Like, I always have my internet. Phone on me, so yeah, the watch too. Is unnecessary.
Well, but like, and you get the added buzz and you're just looking at it. It's like, I wish I didn't have to look at that message, you know? Because
For me, it's nice. Like, if my son wants to play like on Nick Jr. on my phone or something, I can control what he does on the watch.
That's pretty cool.
And, if I want to text my wife, but he wants to play with something or watch something, you know, then I can just text her on the watch.
The voice texting also is really cool. I like that stuff. Yeah. And you can type.
Oh, it's pretty cool. Nick, you missed last episode where we talked about the Siri play-by-play. I don't know if you went back and listened, but
I listened to a little bit of it on my lunch. I didn't hear any
eerie
play-by-play.
You listen to like 5 minutes. You're like, you know what? This is fun. I'm getting out of here.
You're like, nope, just leave.
Yeah, well, anyways, folks, go listen to the last episode of the podcast around the end of the show, I think. And the fool we be pitying, in that segment, we talked about the Siri play-by-play
in Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia,
it will Nova Scotia, it'll never happen again.
Wait, but, Siri did a play-by-play?
No, I'll give a quick breakdown. So there's a U16 game in Nova Scotia, they're not allowed to live stream the game for whatever reason. Parents aren't allowed in the arena to watch. So the manager thought, you know what? This is a great idea. I'm going to take my phone, connect it to like a group chat that they have, and I'm going to do play-by-play, and Siri's going to like take my voice.
Talk to text.
And it's going to come up and they'll be able to read along. And it just did not work.
Like, yeah, because she didn't even look at it. She was just like,
she just literally went off
on it.
Yeah.
And it was,
she went full bonkers.
Yeah, Puck was turning into the other version of Puck.
With an F. There's a lot of weird.
Seriously, check it out. Like, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
They turned over the fuck. They shot the fuck.
that happened all game.
Literally.
And especially because she's wearing a mask, right? So the P comes out a little muffled. So it kind of sounds like an F. Exactly. So.
There was Pakistan was on the ice at one point.
Yeah, they had a Pakistani registry.
Pakistani RNs are going down the ice was one of the lines.
Pearl Harbor was mentioned quite a bit.
Pearl Harbor, yeah, because they were playing Cole Harbor.
Hasn't been mentioned this much since 1944.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was something.
We pitied that fool.
We did pity her. Shane Van Ice says that's pucked up.
There you go.
That's exactly what she was thinking.
Woo-hoo.
All right, boys, got anything else to talk about? I mean, we covered the Siri play-by-play, so I don't know if there's anything else to talk about.
I think that is the perfect high to end this episode on, to be honest.
Nick, you got anything?
Do we want to tease what we're doing this Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Do we
I
want
don't
to
know.
Give
is,
out
is
the
Kyle
teaser?
Alive?
It's been very like hush-hush. Do we
you know
want
what?
To tease it?
I think we're going to surprise the fans.
We should confirm that Kyle is still alive.
I think that we're going to make this a surprise. We're going to make all you fans sweat a little bit.
Something big brewing.
Oh,
we got a big thing happening.
Big things are happening.
Big things.
The Hockey Podcast Network. Stick on your podcast, baby.
Big
and also check out the I forgot which podcast, Dylan, you'll have to remind me, got that interview with Johnny Leonard.
Oh, Pucks in Deep from Everything College Hockey. Great interview with John Leonard. And the work they do is amazing. They just joined the Hockey Podcast Network. And great video content, great podcast. I highly recommend it.
Nice.
There you go.
There you go.
That's follow of the day.
Hell yeah. And don't forget to use promo code THPN when you're banging out those Martin Jones shutout prop bets, okay?
I thought you'd say banging out something else, so
make sure to
we take it there. That's what we bring to the podcast.
If you're having a good day on the trail and you're feeling a little frisky, go to DraftKings, bang out some nice bets, use promo code THPN.
And on that note, folks, thank you so much for watching the live stream. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Big shout out to Shang for joining us on this podcast. Let's give a shout out to our Twitter handles. You can follow myself at @DYL_THPN. You can follow the show at Stick Hungry Pod. You can follow the network at Hockey Pod Net. Producer T.
You can follow myself at @Producer_TEE.
And Nick.
You can watch me having mental breakdowns on Twitter at @NickFloor_.
And you're last. It's
worth the follow.
So you know
right
what
there.
You got to do.
Oh boy. Kyle McLaren, you can find him at @McLaren_K.
If you do find him, please let him know that you would like him to show up on Sunday.
No, there might be a reward out there at this point. I don't know.
Well, the last thing I saw from him was like a shit ton of gasoline in his garage.
Yeah, that's so true. That's actually so true.
That's true, and that's a little bit unsettling. Let's hope.
Yeah, make sure to tune in Sunday, folks. We got a great show.
Yeah. Oh, Sunday's gonna be a fun
show. Big show.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.